that's just fantastic this morning. It's difficult to stand up and preach a message. You get your outline already, and then you get here at church, and you start reading through your outline, and you think, oops, Lord, I've already done what I'm preaching on today. And so, so I guess, because you get it, you get slapped silly in the process of putting your outline together. And then after it's all together, that's it. And then Lord, taps you on the shoulder and said, oops, excuse me. But that was the case this morning. I want you to look at just one verse this morning, and that's verse number 39. In Matthew chapter number 10, Brother Tim led us in reading just a few minutes ago. That verse simply says this, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life shall find it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. In meteorology terms, in weather terms, there's some indexes that will help the weatherman describe what his job is to describe the weather. That would be maybe temperature, humidity, wind, that type of thing. There's a temperature, and then there's also a heat index. That number describes how much we are affected by the heat. There is also, especially in the south, up here it's not so bad, but especially in the south, there's humidity, and there is a humidity index. And that tells us how much we are affected by the humidity in our daily lives down there where there is a humidity. In our walk with God, I think there also is an index. It's called the misery index. And that number tells us how much we are affected in our daily lives by the things that we do that bring us misery. Excuse me. I want to talk to you this morning on an affinity for misery. I want to define that word for you first. The word affinity means a tendency to seek after. It means a feeling of kinship. It means a spontaneous liking for something. But I want to talk to you this morning. I want to describe to you, in fact, I'm going to be that person just a little bit this morning, the most miserable person in all the world. That most miserable person, because that person has an incredible misery index. Father, right now, God, I need you. We all need you this morning. But God, we need you to work amongst us here this day. And Father, I need you because my words are very, very hollow. But God, you can make them to be what you want them to be. And God, you can work in our hearts today. So God, please do just that. And God, may this service be exactly what you want it to be. And God, help me, please, today. Help us to obey as you teach us today. And we'll just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I am miserable. And I want to tell you why I'm miserable this morning. Because I am only interested in things as they apply to me. Doesn't matter about anybody else. It's just me, because I'm the most important thing in the world. You see, if you treat me well, I will treat you well. If you treat everybody else badly, but you're nice to me, I will treat you nicely as well. And by the way, if you don't treat anybody else nicely but treat me good, I really don't care. I will judge you strictly on how you treat me. I guess you could say it matters not how you treat everybody else as long as you treat me right. Because after all, numero uno is the most important. To be honest with you, nothing hinges on your honesty. I will judge you on how you treat me and how you relate to me. You may be dishonest, but if you treat me well, I'll think you're a good person. If you have no integrity, as long as you treat me right, and as long as you do me right, I'll think you're a good person. You may not have a lick of character, but as long as you treat me right, and as long as you do me right, I'll think you're a good person. And I'll like you. I will not judge you on the fact if you're on time or not. That does not matter. Just treat me right. I will not judge you on if you're diligent or not, because I don't care if you're diligent or not. Just treat me right. I don't care if you have character or not. Just treat me right. Do me right. Do right to me. Because remember, numero uno, I'm the only one that matters. if you have integrity or not, if you have character or not, it doesn't matter. It just does not matter. Just do right to me. Treat me the way I want to be treated. And by the way, if you want to know what my needs are, just ask me. I will tell you. Just treat me right. I don't care if you're dedicated. I don't care if you do what you're supposed to do, assuming you do it. Just treat me right. Be good to me. Just be good to me. I don't watch anybody else. Just me. Just me. I'm the most important one. You see, I'm miserable. And I will judge you on one thing and one thing only, and that's how you treat me. So you can treat everybody else poorly, but treat me right and you're okay in my book. I'll talk to you. I'll be good to you, but you treat me right. And in the day you treat me wrong, Buster, you look out. You watch out. Treat everybody else good and treat me poorly, and I will not like you one bit. I will talk about you. I will spread rumors about you. I will talk to everybody I can, and I will tell them just exactly what you did to me. You see, I'm miserable because in my life, it all depends on how your life, how my life, it affects me. That's all it is to it. It all depends on me. That's all I care about. You see, in our school, if some other kid gets expelled expelled wrongly, well, that's okay. Mistakes happen. You know, the pastor makes mistakes, and everybody else makes mistakes. Administrator makes mistakes. And I'm sure Mrs. Varnum wrote down the demerits wrong, but that's okay. That's okay. That's somebody else's kid. But you expel my kid from school, even if the demerits are just and everything is just right, you expel my kid from school, that's just not going to happen. Because if you don't treat me right, I will spread lies, I will talk about you, and everything's going to fall apart. Brother Varnum, Brother Hollins, and the teen group, they can mistreat any other kid in the school, in the youth group, any place. After all, mistakes happen. They're only human. They're just human, and that's okay, because mistakes are going to happen. But you let them treat my kid wrongly. I don't care if they've got it coming. I don't care if the whole world saw it. I don't care if the police officer's standing behind them and putting handcuffs on them. If they treat them wrongly, everybody in the church is going to know about it. Everybody. I mean, I'll put it on Facebook, and if it's on Facebook, obviously it's right. I will judge them on how they treat me and mine. Because remember, I'm miserable, and I'm the most important person on the face of this earth. I will judge authority on how authority treats me, and I will judge authority on how they treat me and mine. I will judge all authority. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm going to treat that authority on how they treat me. Because remember, I'm miserable. And I'm the only important one there is. And by the way, have I mentioned to you that if you want to know what my problems are, just ask. I'll tell you. Because I'll tell you, I know. Nobody else knows. I know. And please don't forget what I said at the beginning. I'm miserable. And I'm going to remain miserable. I want to stay miserable because I'm the most important thing. I've heard all the remedies about how to keep from being miserable and how to get right, but they don't work because I've tried them and they just don't work and I'm miserable. And I'm only concerned about how things relate to me. By the way, I reserve the right to change my opinion about you anytime I choose, at any moment I choose. You may be good to me, and I'll say you're right, and you're good, you're a nice person, but if I want to, I'll just turn right around and walk to the next person I see and badmouth you and say, boy, you're a rotten person, because I'm miserable. I'm the only person that's important. You see, you are on trial with me 24/7. I reserve the right to change my opinion about you, anything, anybody, at will. If I even see you, it looks like you're doing something that I don't agree with, my opinion's going to change because, listen, I'm miserable. I'm the only one that's important. You tell somebody else something and you don't tell me. By the way, why? I'm miserable. and I want to stay miserable. I will judge every night before I go to bed on how I feel about you. And by the way, my opinion can change without notice. I will not call you up and tell you. You'll find out about it because somebody else will tell you, because somebody else told somebody else told somebody else told somebody else, because I told them that I was the most important one, and of course, we all know that. Treat me well, I'll like you. Treat me bad, and you are the scum of the earth. Treat me bad more than once, and I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'll go someplace else that'll appreciate me. I will not make a decision on how I feel about you and file it away in my mind, even though you've been good to me, you've bailed me out, you've helped me so much in the past, and I owe you big time. I will not keep that in my mind because you're on trial with me 24/7. And if you mess up just one time, I don't care. If you bail me out of the biggest problem in the world, you let me down just one time, boy, I'll nail you big time. Remember? I'm miserable. I'm miserable. But I love it. I love it. And remember, you're on constant trial with me, so you be on your best behavior. By the way, my wife is also on trial. My husband's also on trial. My preacher's on trial. My boss is on trial. My friends are on trial. My Sunday school teacher's on trial. My teachers at the school are on trial. The people I'm sitting next to all the time, they're on trial. By the way, the person you're sitting next to this morning, don't do anything wrong, or you're liable to see your name someplace because you, by the way, talk to everybody you're sitting next to. Because if you forget one person, remember, I'm miserable. See, you forgot to talk to me. You shook hands with everybody else, but you didn't shake my hand. See, remember, I'm miserable, but I love it, and I'm not about to change. See, I'm only concerned about how you treat me and how you treat mine. By the way, go ahead and treat me treat me good and be good to me for years and years and years, and that's all fine. But remember, you're on trial with me 24/7. One mistake, and by the way, I am watching. I'm watching like a hawk for that one little goof up, because if I see it, oh, if I even think I see it. You're on trial. Remember, I have a high misery index. I am miserable. I worked hard to get here, and I ain't about to let it go. I will judge you every day and on everything you do, and nothing you do will be exempt from my scrutiny. I will judge you on how you treat me and mine. By the way, who cares how it's been years and years and years you've been there for me? I don't care. What have you done for me lately? My needs being met, that's all that's important. If you meet the needs of others, I don't care. Who cares? What about my needs? By the way, if you want to know what my needs are, ask me. I'd be glad to tell you. We can sit down and take 3-4 hours. I can tell you what they are. But just make sure, when everything's said and done, there's something left for me. Husband, you meet my needs or I'm going to leave you. I'll find somebody else that'll meet my needs. They told me they would. Wife, you meet my needs too, or I'm going to leave you because that other person, they told me they'd meet my needs. And of course, they don't lie. Teacher, you better give me and mine what I need, what mine need. Or we're going to leave, we're going to find a different school because the teachers here, you're not meeting my needs. And remember, if you want to know my needs, just ask me. Just ask, I'll tell you. Take 3 or 4 hours, but I'll tell you. Preacher, you better treat me well and meet the needs of me and mine, and you better meet our needs or we're going to leave and go to a different church because, again, that other church said, I'll meet your needs. They told me they would. They promised. Now, remember, I'm miserable. I'm miserable, and I worked hard to get here, and I have no intention of changing anytime soon. Because remember, me, I'm important. It's just me. It's me. It's me. It's me, myself, and nobody else. Mom and Dad, you better treat us right, or we kids, we're going to be out the door. We're going to be out the door. We'll call social services on you. That'll fix you. See, I don't care what anybody else needs. When I pray for God to meet my needs. And God will meet my needs. And by the way, I don't care if God meets your needs or not. Remember, my needs are the most important. Your needs are piddly compared to mine. Mine are the most important. Nobody's got needs like mine. I'm just concerned about God taking care of me. See, remember, I have a very high misery index. I am miserable. But I love it. Hey, church, you better treat me right. Or I'll leave and I'll tell everybody in the county that this church is not a friendly church. You walk into that church, they won't talk to you. They'll shake hands with everybody else, but me. Man, I'll put it on Facebook, and of course that's true. And I'll put it on Twitter, and I'll even invent some other places, and I'll put it in letters. I'll do anything. But remember, my needs. Again, if you want to know what my needs are, ask me. I'd love to tell you. Hey, church, I don't care how many buses you run. I don't care how many times people go soul winning. I don't care who goes soul winning. I don't care how many people you helped and you feed every week. I don't care how many people got saved in the prisons. I don't care how many were at RU last Friday night. I don't care what the offerings are. I don't care if Faith Promise is not meeting budget. I don't care how many shepherds are meeting over there right now. I don't care how many road buses. I don't care. What about my needs? What about what I need? I mean, I have some needs, and they're not getting met. And if you don't meet my needs, there's several doors around here, and I'm allowed to just get up and walk out. Hey, church, you honor the shepherds once a year. You even give them medals for never missing. And, you know, they grab those medals, and they put them on. You honor the soccer team for winning games. You honor the basketball teams for winning games. You honor the people that read the Bible all the way through, and you gave them a little certificate. You had them come up on the platform, and to make matters worse, Brother Tim got up there, and he took a picture. And can you imagine that? Put it in the paper. Hey, when are you going to honor me? When are you going to honor me? After all, I'm the last one in, first one out every Sunday. And if you only knew how hard that was. No, wait, remember, I'm miserable, but I love it. Who cares if the Bible is the Word of God or not? I don't care. My needs are not getting met. They're just not getting met, and it doesn't appear much of anybody cares. Who cares if this church is the one like Jesus started or not? Remember, it's my needs that aren't getting met. It's my needs. And let's make sure one thing we all understand. It's not what you think my needs are. It's what I think my needs are. And by the way, have I told you that if you want to know what my needs are, ask me. I'll tell you. In fact, I've got them written down. I've got a whole list in the back of my Bible of all my needs that aren't getting met. And it's growing daily. All that matters is, are my needs being met? You know, I'm kind of getting tired of being told every Sunday morning that I'm supposed to tithe. I'm kind of getting tired every Sunday morning, Faith Promise Missions, I'm supposed to give. I'm getting tired, Frank. I'm getting tired of told to do right. I'm getting told I'm getting tired of being told to help out and work in the nursery. I'm getting tired of having Brother Kelvin say, I need people with CDL licenses. I'm getting tired of being told every Sunday, buy a pizza kit from a senior. I'm getting tired of that. First it was a calendar, then it was this, then it was this. And as soon as that's done, there's going to be something else. And remember, they need to go on a senior trip. That's their need. Hey, what about my need? What about my needs? I like to travel too. When are you going to meet my needs? They're trying to do things special so they don't spend all their money flying and everything. They're trying to save money. Okay, what about my needs saving me money? I'm miserable. Everything revolves around me and getting the needs of me and mine met. See, you don't know what my needs are. Again, just ask me. I'll tell you. I'd be glad to tell you. Nobody looks out for number one anymore except me. And I've got some needs that need to be met. I'm tired of not having them get met. I'm tired of going home every day and going to bed every night and crying myself to sleep because my needs aren't met. Wonder, tomorrow? Tomorrow? Yeah, not today. Everything revolves around me. So you treat me right, I will treat you right. But you mistreat me, Buster, you haven't. I learned in high school one time, some person said, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, but you ain't seen nothing yet till I let loose when my needs aren't getting met. Do it enough and I'll hate you. And I will never stop hating you, and you can never get back on my good graces. Never. You want to know what my favorite song is? Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you because you're not meeting my needs. See, it doesn't make any difference that God's commanded me to love because I'm miserable. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 4 said, his banner over me is love. We sang that song a little bit ago. Love lifted me. That was my song. It's love lifted me, not you. Me. But why aren't my needs getting met? I mean, that favorite song, the song the kids are probably singing over in junior church right now. Jesus loves me. Me. He doesn't love you. I got every bit of it. Me. Jesus loves Eve and me. And Jesus loves me more than Eve, by the way. I love you on the basis of how you affect my senses. And by the way, I've not had a good day. I know this is only the fourth day of March, but I've not yet had a good day this month. I've not yet had a good day. I've not yet had my needs met yet this month. I haven't had a need met this month. Nobody's treated me right yet this month. Oh, by the way, again, if you want to know my needs, ask me, I'll tell you. And if you want to know how to treat me, I'll tell you that too. It'll take twice as long, so if you got 6 or 8 hours, we can sit down and talk about it. Maybe I ought to make a CD. That way I can give one to everybody. Maybe I ought to make a DVD. Hey, could we arrange that? We could make a DVD that I could pass one out to everybody, and everybody would know just how miserable I am. Remember, this is the most miserable person on the face of the earth. My feelings are paramount. I'm tired of being stepped on and pushed aside. I have needs, and I'm miserable. I'm tired of being last. You see, I'm miserable. I believe every verse in the Bible is for me and how it applies for me. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That means if I have a merry heart, it will be good to me. Like a medicine. I'm not worried about you. Take your own medicine. Get your own prescription. It'll be good to me. It'll be good for me. Remember, I'm miserable, and everything applies to me. I don't care how it applies to somebody else. The only one that matters is me. And I am miserable. I love to gossip. I love the latest scuttlebutt. I want to know what's going on. I've got to know what's going on. I don't care if it destroys somebody else. I don't care if it puts them behind the eight ball. I've got to know what's going on. After all, I have a right to know because it's my need, and my needs got to get met. That's all there is to it. My needs are not getting met, and it's serious. I mean, I'm about to do something. I know. I got to show everybody how my needs have got to get met, how important it is that my needs get met. I'm going to stop coming to Sunday school. That'll show you. I'm not going to let my kids come to youth chapel anymore. That'll put that in your pipe and smoke it. That'll show you how serious I am. I'm going to stop coming to prayer meeting. Pull that in your little red wagon for a while. I'm going to show you how serious it is that my needs are not getting met, and I want them met. I'm tired of the way things are going right now. And by the way, I'm real tired of how this church is telling me that I need to get my needs met. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being told, you need to get involved in a ministry. I'm tired of being told, live for others. I'm tired of being told to give what you have to somebody else because they may not have it. I'm tired of being told to work in a Sunday school class. Well, I don't have a Sunday school class. Well, get yourself some tracks and go out and knock on some doors and build one. I'm getting tired of it. Brother Dave mentioned the other night, need some help in master clubs. I'm tired of being told that. Must have a bunch of lazy people in master clubs. Can't they do it with just a few people I got? I'm tired of being told to be a silent partner while somebody goes out soul winning and I just kind of stir the beans while they do the witnessing. I'm tired of that. I'm tired. I've been told, you can cook food for RU on Friday night. You can make cookies for a bus route or for the shepherds. I'm tired of being told those things to get me from being miserable. I don't want to stop being miserable. I like being miserable. And I'm tired of you meeting the needs of somebody else and forgetting about me. By the way, when you come out of pastor's office and you tell, and will you please not say you had a very good session, pastor helped you so much? Please don't say that because he's not helping me a lick. And please don't say, I got blessed out of that Sunday morning message, Sunday night. Whoa, I love that. Don't say that. I'm not being fed. Remember, I'm miserable. I'm miserable. Remember, I'm the most miserable person on the face of the earth. If you want to know my problems, ask me. I'd love to tell you. Stop telling me that I've got to get my mind off of me and put it on somebody that doesn't have something that I have. Don't tell me that. I don't want to get my mind off of me. I kind of like talking about me. Can you think of a better person to have somebody's mind be upon? Stop trying to tell me to get my mind off myself by doing these things because it's not working. I'm miserable I'm miserable because I'm not doing these things. No, I'm miserable because nobody is meeting my needs and they're not meeting the needs of me and mine. But I'm loving it. I know Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I know that says we could come boldly to the throne of grace, and I'm doing that. I'm praying a lot, but I'm not getting a whole lot of mercy, and I'm not getting a whole lot of grace in time of need. I'm glad it works for you, but it's not working for me. By the way, who cares about anybody else's needs? I got needs of my own. They're not getting met. But treat me properly? Well, I'll treat you properly all day long. I'll be your best friend. But boy, one time, I even read in the inflection of your voice that you're not absolutely sincere with me. Boy, I'll turn on you like a rabid raccoon. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." That verse does not work because I am not happy. Remember, I'm miserable. That verse revolves around me. I have a vision for me and mine. I have a vision for us, and I am keeping the law, and I ain't happy. I'm miserable, but I love it. Come and ask me why I'm miserable. I'd love to tell you. In fact, I don't know if I could put it on one CD or not. Might even take two. Why not? What better subject would there be to have a dual version? In fact, maybe we can come up with a case and design a pretty cover and wow, that would be fantastic. I'm miserable. And I love it. You see, that's the most miserable person on the face of the earth. That verse says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." You see, that's the whole key. Lose yourself. Lose yourself. Got about four things this morning. If you're miserable this morning, how to not be miserable when you walk out the door. And a couple of things, four things this morning. Number one, read the Bible looking for truths to help others. Now, I'm not talking about somebody, I saw Mrs. Carpenter do something the other day, and I'm going to look for a verse that I can find to help her so she won't do it anymore. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about reading verses. I'm talking about reading a verse on marriage that you might be able to, first off, help yourself. And maybe just while you're out soul winning, somebody might say, well, I got a little problem. Hey, God gave me this morning for me. Maybe it'll help you. How about somebody about getting your prayers answered? How about a verse about having some doubts? How about verses on assurance of your salvation? How about verses about faith, about giving, about trust, the love of God? How about verses like that that you can use to help others? Look for verses that you can help somebody else. Look for them. You want a high misery index? Just keep on being selfish. And keep telling God that I'm reading this verse for me. God, give me something for me. Stay miserable. That's why you sit here in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, and you can walk out in the door and say, what preacher preach on this morning? I don't know. You're not expecting anything. You're not asking God to give you anything. Somebody say, well, I'm just not getting fed. The food's there. You're just choosing not to eat it. You can't, nobody can say when we walk out of this church for any of the ministries, there's not enough there. It's just we don't like what's there. Number two, look for people to help. Get your mind off yourself and look for somebody that's having a rough time. Hey, look for somebody that needs a pair of shoes. Look for somebody that needs a coat. Look for somebody that needs a bag of groceries in their cupboard. Look for somebody that maybe you say, well, such and such heard a. I heard somebody praying. I need 50 bucks to go to camp. I need 50 bucks for this or 50 bucks for that. And you think, I just happen to have $50 in my wallet today. Hey, get one of those. Get an envelope. Stick the money in it. And with the opposite hand you write with, write their name on it, go put it on the welcome center, and stand there and wait for them to walk by. And when they see it, watch the expression on their face. Watch them when they jump up and down and that tear comes out of their eye saying, I can't believe God did it. I can't believe God did it. And they start running around telling everybody, man, look, God gave me this, God gave me this, God gave me this. I can't believe it. Look for somebody to help. Look for them. They're out there. Well, I just don't know. They're there. Kathy Mora, she's not here today. She had surgery last Thursday. You know what's going to be the best thing to help her recover? She's got some Sunday school girls that need her. She's got some Master Club girls that need her. And she's got to be healed totally in just a few weeks because there's a whole bunch of people at the fair that she's going to win to Christ this year. And by the way, she's going to break her record. Hey, and do you have any idea the biggest thing probably that's helped her since Al went to heaven is getting in this book and finding ways to help somebody and doing it. And I could just picture old Al up in heaven, Al looking down thinking, that's my girl. That's my girl. She did it. She did it. And by the way, she didn't stop because she had some adversity in her life. She kept on going. Amen. She kept on going. Number three, get involved in a ministry. Brother Dave isn't joking when he says they need help in Master Club, Sunday school. Well, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. Why don't you go build a class? Why don't you just go start a class? Hey, Pastor, I've got 11 girls, 11 guys. We want a Sunday school class. There's not room for them over there. Can I have a room? I got 15 kids. I want to start a class. I got 15 people I want to start a class with. We don't have that. I got 15 people. Here they are. Can we have a room? Go build a class. Start a class. And the ones that are coming, do they have brothers and sisters? Are they saved? Are the parents saved? What are the parents' names? Where do they live? What school do they attend? Are the parents saved? Do they have anybody else in that house that needs to get saved? That if you just went and talked to, by the way, the ones that are in Sunday school today, will they get a knock on their door before next week? Number four, die daily. Die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I die daily. That's what Paul said. Live for your wife's needs, husbands, and not your own. Ladies, live for your husband's needs daily, not your own. Hey, young people, live for your parents. Live for the needs of your kids. Live for the needs of your family. If you're a child or a teenager, live for the needs of your mom and dad. Try to find a way to lift the needs of what your parents have. Look for something. Hey, guys, what's your wife's favorite flower? And I don't mean gold medal all purpose. I mean, what's her favorite botanical flower. That's a sponge joke. Took a while to sink in. What's your wife's favorite botanical flower? When was the last time you just bought one? I mean, just for the cause. I can't tell you how many times I'll go downstairs in my office and I'll flick the lights on, and right there in the middle of my desk, right there in the middle of that, or she'll stick it on the chair where I'll sit on it. I told her to stop doing that because I did. But there'll be something on my desk right there in the middle and a little note to it. I won't tell you what the note says. But there's something right there. And I thought, wow. And you know the number of times that my wife's done that? How many times? That's exactly what I needed. There's some days you kind of drag in there. And you're thinking, I don't know. Something's got to stop. We got time out. There it is. There it is. Guys, get flowers. Young people, get flowers for your mom. Your moms will never outgrow their liking for flowers. They never will. July 1st this year, mom will have lived alone 20 years. I don't do it as often as I ought to. But when I walk in that door of her house, when I got some flowers or I got some perfume or something, I can't tell you how much her face lights up. They never outgrow it. And by the way, young girls, your daddy never will outgrow it either. Your daddy will never outgrow it. When my kids come home, especially Debbie and Sandy, they always leave notes someplace. We'll find notes 6 months later. And Debbie especially, she'll write a note that said, finally found it, huh? But she'll write a note and we'll find it and think, wow, I needed that. Life is wonderful when you got somebody to share it with. Life is wonderful when you've got somebody to give it to. Life is wonderful when life does not revolve around you. Yesterday, I got to spend some time with a couple in their mid-80s. Come July, they'll be married 65 years. And all day long, just talk back and forth. All the time we talked, she pointed to him. He pointed to her. And she made him look good. He made her look good. And there was a couple of times he couldn't think of something, and not one time did she say, hey, you stinking old coot, don't you remember? She just said, hey, wasn't it such and such? Oh, yeah, it was. And she helped him. She completed him. He completed her. Lose yourself. Die to yourself. Folks, our soldiers are dying on the battlefield right now to keep us free. We're concerned about the presidential election in the fall, the freedoms we've lost, the freedoms we're losing, what freedoms we've got left. And tonight, scheduled for the Lord's Supper tonight, the death, burial, we're going to commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we can do what? I'm not getting my needs met. It's just, they're not nice to me. Die daily. Die daily. Die daily. Number five, stop being negative. Stop being negative. Quit talking negatively. Quit listening to negative talk. Quit reading negative talk. If you want to see what negative talk will do to you, look at Jonah. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. That's not where I want to go. And by the way, you study the Ninevites, you study that area over there, you're going to find out why he didn't want to go there. That was a rough bunch over there. And then even after he went and came back, and there was a great revival, came back and sat under a gourd and was sucking his thumb, thinking, well, what about my needs? God, you met theirs. What about mine? Rarely did I ever go on Facebook. I got an account, I guess. I go on there every now and then, and I look at one thing. I only look at one thing. Brother Collins, I go on Facebook and I read what you put on there. Because it's uplifting. There's a little story on there. There's a recipe on there, which, by the way, that recipe about when you made the other day, had to make dinner, that sounds awfully good. I'm going to try that. And even the little clips on there about Barney Fife. That's about all the thing I can look at because I want to be encouraged. I want to read something positive. I wasn't about to go on Facebook this morning and come up and stand up here and read a lot of nonsense and think, well, folks, I'm depressed this morning. And by the way, you wouldn't want somebody to get up here and do it. This past week. No, I guess about 2 weeks ago. I probably shouldn't tell them this. I'm kind of telling on myself. 7th and 8th grade class, I kind of lost track of time and we hadn't looked at the boards from previous science fairs. So we did it in science class, next to last hour, or math class, next to last hour. Miss Brown gave us Maddie and Angela. I made it with her. She said, talked to her, she was going to make it possible. They were going to come over and about the last 20 minutes of class had about 5 minutes and 45 seconds to spare before they got there. And right before, as I was going into getting the projector and getting it all hooked up, heard some negative stuff. And I thought, man, I don't want that nonsense. So I got it all hooked up, and I said, I need to check this out and make sure it's going to work. So for about 5 minutes and 45 seconds before Maddie and Angela came in, I turned on the projector and went on the computer, and I clicked on Abbott and Costello, who's on first. You say, you shouldn't be watching that stuff in your classroom. Beat some of the stuff we watch at home. Right. I'm sitting there. Sometimes, how many times have you seen that thing? I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times I've seen that. But I always laugh. There's something always new. That cracks me up. And then that was over, and I'm watching them, and I'm thinking, I wonder if they got it. I don't care. I had my need, Matt. Yeah. It sure lifted me up, though. Who's on first? Now what? I don't care. That worked for me. Listen, you're going to be negative, and you're going to be critical as long as you center on you. As long as your life revolves around you and your needs, you're going to be critical. You're going to be negative, and every person around you is going to be critical and negative when they walk away. You say, well, I'm not getting my needs met. You can't meet your own needs anyway. If I read the Bible correctly, Jesus is the only one that can fill that bill. And by the way, if you sit here this morning and you don't know for sure you're saved, you can't do a thing about it. Jesus has already done it. He already paid the price on Calvary. The price is paid. Praise God. The price is paid. All you've got to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you know, you can know for sure you're going to heaven one day. We can't meet our needs anyway. And I'm wondering, sometimes we sing a song. I wonder, do we really mean it? We sing the song, Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. But do we really mean it? Sing it this morning with me, will you? Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. Father, thank you for this day. God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you, God, for giving us a purpose to live. Oh, God, help us today. Help us to know that you are all we need. That's it. You're it. You're all we need. You'll meet every need we have. There's nothing that can't be met. by you? Nothing. Nothing. Our heads are bowed this morning, our eyes are closed. Maybe somebody this morning would say, Brother Nixon, if I were to die right this moment, I don't know for sure I'd go straight to heaven. But I'd sure like to know. Is that you this morning? Is there somebody here that would say, I'm not sure I'm saved today? Lift your hand up this morning that we might pray for you. I'm not going to come get you, not going to pull you out, but just say, Brother Nixon, here's my hand. I'm not sure I'm saved today. I'm not sure I'm saved. In just a moment, the music's going to play. And by the way, they're going to play that same song, Christ is All I Need. They're going to play that same song. Is that all you need this morning? Why don't you come tell him? Why don't you come tell him? Christ, you're all I need. You're all I need. If I've got you, I got it made. Father, please bless the invitation this morning. God, do something special in this place, please.